Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Thursday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review, who's also co-author of Heavy Lifting. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. And Jim, it's the Christmas season. Is three martinis, are they really enough? Let's do four today. Let's just do it. One good, two bad, one crazy. We start with the good, and it's news that we knew a little bit about from the president's speech from the Oval Office about a week and a half ago. But the FBI has officially announced, Jim, that the Chattanooga terrorist attack earlier this year that targeted two different military locations and took multiple lives was a terrorist attack. They were inspired by foreign terrorists, and those who were affected have been awarded posthumous Purple Hearts. So it took a lot less time for this to happen than in the wake of Fort Hood. So I guess there's a little bit of improvement there, although there still seemed to be some initial reluctance. But ultimately, reality has been acknowledged, and that can only be good.
Yeah, it was just a month ago, Greg, that the FBI Director Comey was saying, well, we might never know what the real motivation was, which was not sitting well with a lot of people. I think it was very useful to note that he's saying that this was foreign inspired, although they're not sure which group. I get the feeling this shooter was following several of them. For a long while, there was this attitude of, well, unless, you know, you get the direct order from, you know, ISIS high command, unless you can find the smoking telegram saying, go shoot people, people are saying, well, it's not really an ISIS attack. Look, ISIS inspired, ISIS directed. At the end of the day, people are still shooting people because they believe in ISIS, right? This is a distinction without a difference. It is useful to see the FBI finally getting on the stick and kind of openly acknowledging this and talking about this. It is good for everyone, the families of the who lost loved ones there that are getting their Purple Hearts. The soldier or the sailor who was wounded there will be getting a Purple Heart. It just feels like the air is getting a little bit clearer around this, and the vision is getting a little bit clearer around this. And I salute this belated acknowledgement of what most of us suspected very early on.
Are you happy with the way that Department of Government is functioning? Good, because Hold on. The news gets much worse as we go along here, especially in our bad martinis. Jim, let's head up to Capitol Hill. It's almost Christmas time, so of course lawmakers are scrambling to fund the government while they go home. It was a year ago that we were told that Senate majority being in Republican hands along with the Republican House would mean much different things, at least headed to the president's desk, if not actually enacted into law. We had a short-term spending bill right before John Boehner left town at the end of October. Then there was one that lasted just a few days that passed last week. And now we've got this omnibus bill that's going to be voted on, I believe, on Friday. And Jim, there's a couple of good nuggets in there, like some permanent tax measures for small businesses and the lifting of a ban on the exporting of oil and so forth. But for the most part, the Democrats are literally publicly gloating about this because there's increased spending and every one of their pet projects gets funded here, from sanctuary cities to Planned Parenthood. There's no pause at all or in the funding of the refugee resettlement program. You've got the president's amnesty. You've got the funding of all these controversial EPA rules, from water to ozone to the power plants, and on and on and on. And it just doesn't seem like the majority is willing to put something on the president's desk that forces him to react to what the voters want their lawmakers to do and have said they wanted them to do in the last couple of elections.
Yeah, I'd like to give you some cheer up, the sun will come out tomorrow, positive spirit, but this is a pretty bad negotiating. Again, I don't, you know, ultimately it sounds like Speaker Ryan is not too different from Speaker Boehner in believing he doesn't have a lot of leverage, which means he's got to get a little bit of window dressing here and there. You know, they lift the 40-year-old ban on exporting crude oil, defunding IRS regulations, restricting political activity of 501c4. Like they shouldn't be doing that. we won't fund them doing that. They're not supposed to do this in the first place. How is that a huge win? You know, you've gotten them to promise they're going to obey the law that they weren't supposed to break in the first place. The wind turbine credit, it's a bad one. I'm not even going to buy. Just, you know, get rid of the beard. Shave, all right? Start over again. We need to get up, put on our rally caps, do something different. Ultimately, the story of the Obama presidency will be that the Republicans never figured out how to negotiate with him with any leverage.
Wow. All right. On to the next bad martini. And while we're not huge fans of most of the president's lead team, if you're going to rank them in competence, Ash Carter is usually considered one of the more competent people that the president has chosen. Jim Comey at the FBI, probably one of the other ones. But the latest...
It's a bit like being the tallest midget, Greg. It's...
Well, Jim Comey's definitely taller than that. So yeah. Ash Carter, at least admitting he's done something wrong here. That's that he used his personal email early on in his time as defense secretary to conduct official business. Here's NBC Pentagon correspondent Jim Miklaszewski with the details.
It's difficult to imagine that any top government official would actually do that. But the Pentagon now admits that Defense Secretary Ash Carter did just that. According to the officials, it was shortly after he was sworn in as Defense Secretary in February that he started using his private email to conduct some official business. Now, according to the officials, there was no classified information, no secrets in any of these emails. But nevertheless, it violated Pentagon regulations. And only a month after Secretary Carter started doing that, the scandal broke on Capitol Hill about Secretary Clinton's extensive, exclusive use of emails for her business while she was Secretary of State. It launched a huge political scandal.
Jim, in an interview with CBS during a trip to the Middle East, the Associated Press reports that Carter called his actions a mistake, and it's entirely my own. A little bit different than the Clinton dodge, and it's, of course, a major significance that Clinton has now been confirmed to have had top secret information on a private server, whereas Ash Carter, while not being very smart, didn't have any classified information there.
You know, two things about this jump out at me, Greg. The first being that, like, Hillary's bad enough. But like we've been arguing about this and debating about this and denouncing her for this for the past year.
Right.
At some point, you know, did Ash Carter on his private system say, "Well, I'm glad I'm not her," you know? like it's or the OPM hack or stuff like that. Like it's one thing if you're using it because you're careless, you didn't want to give up your old system. You're used to using your whatever, I don't know whether he's using a Gmail account or whatever it is, and he just doesn't want to change. Like, that's one thing. But when everybody's denouncing her over this, at no point does it cross your mind, maybe I shouldn't use the system anymore. just kind of baffling. And now, of course, she can say, look, everybody does it. You know, it's very commonplace in government. Nobody's, you know, calling for Ash Carter to resign over this. This shouldn't be a big deal, et cetera, et cetera. Now, as you mentioned, Ash Carter, as far as Obama administration officials goes, is probably one of the better ones. I don't know if you want to kick him out over something like this. But it is disappointing that apparently, as we suspect, nobody in the administration really takes this issue that seriously.
Apparently not. As long as he didn't have a server in his bathroom, I think he's still one step ahead of her, but still ridiculously dumb on his part if he was at all clued in onto what was going on in the rest of the world. On to the crazy martini now, and still more fallout from Tuesday night's Republican presidential debate in Las Vegas on national security. Jim, we talked about some of the different exchanges yesterday over bulk data, immigration, what to do with regime change, and whether that even in general is a good idea. One of the other things that was discussed was Donald Trump's plan of not only targeting terrorists, but also targeting their families, because oftentimes they're either harboring or know something about it or have other information. Others fought back fiercely on that, including Rand Paul, saying that that was obviously a violation of the Constitution, particularly if they're on American soil or American citizens. Bill O'Reilly of course, the Fox News Channel was on Fox and Friends, and he's not into this whole follow the law mumbo jumbo. Here's what he had to say to the curvy couch, as they call it.
Krauthammer is appalled by Donald Trump. He's appalled by him, all right? Because he doesn't believe that Trump understands or cares about things like the Constitution. My point is that Trump knows exactly what he's saying, all right? And he just wants to win, and then he's going to get in there like he did last night, and he was nice to all the Republicans at the end, right. All right? This is how he runs it.
More presidential.
Now, is Donald Trump going to murder people when he's president? No. He's not. But he's going to tell you he is,
right.
Because that's what people want to hear. Yeah, get them, get them, get them. They don't want to hear pinheaded explanations about the Constitution and stuff like that.
Jim, the folks just don't want to hear about the Constitution.
You know, the Constitution, the law, all that nonsense. Yeah. On the one hand, we can kind of laugh at Bill O'Reilly, which means I will never get to tout heavy lifting on the O'Reilly factor. But that's okay, because he's too busy promoting, you know, killing Lincoln, killing Jesus, killing CNN. We can laugh at this, but we can also point out there's kind of this very frustrating development that Obama came into office and all, you know, at some point found operating under the traditional established rules of government under the Constitution. It got too frustrating. He just decided he's going to start ignoring it. Nah, I'm going to do, you know, the Iran deal, it's not really a treaty. You know, we don't need to ratify that. I can declare war. We can go intervene in Libya. I don't need military authorization for that. I'm going to declare Congress in recess and appoint these people anyway. I'm going to try to push through an executive order amnesty. He's just going to go down the list of all these times Obama has ignored the Constitution. That filmmaker, arrest him. You know, that kind of stuff. And we on the right have been outraged by this. And instead of saying, no, this is wrong, we need to restore this, I have a feeling that there are a lot of people on the right who are like, all right, fine. Constitution doesn't apply to us either. All right, we don't care about that tired old document sitting there in the National Archives either. You know what? We're going to waterboard people because we feel like it. As Trump put it, even if it doesn't work, they deserve it. Right? You know, we're going to kill family members of terrorists because we want to. And you can just go down the list. And, you know, when Rand Paul, you know, I don't always agree with Rand Paul, but Rand Paul, in all of his arguments, always begins with, what does the Constitution say? And I may not always agree with his interpretation of it, but at least he and the old, who cares about this stuff? And that stuff like the Constitution, that's when you start thinking we're really doomed. When the voices who are allegedly on the right, and I think it's safe to say O'Reilly's always, ironically, a bit like Trump, always been kind of more of a populist than anything resembling a principled conservative, doesn't really start. What does the Constitution say and how do we work out from there?
Exactly. No, it's truly frightening. And you have mentioned many different times on here that how you get things done is just as important as getting things done, particularly when we're abiding by the Constitution. And you can't be condemning others for completely ignoring it and metaphorically shredding it when you're willing to do it yourself. So hopefully not too many people are listening to O'Reilly on an issue like this. So
anytime you're saying the Constitution and stuff like that. That's a phrase that's going to get you in trouble, I would argue.
Jim, on that note, hope folks enjoyed an extra martini today. Talk to you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. And be sure to tune in again on Friday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.